John chapter 10, one more time. We're going to conclude our short series looking at the Good Shepherd and his flock. And tonight we're going to talk about how the shepherd keeps his flock. The great instinct that man has is that instinct of self-preservation. I think God has given us that. There's an instinct for self-preservation. We're interested in security, right? Personal security, social security, national security, and even eternal security. And that's just built into us. And thank God we have a shepherd who provides for his flock eternal security. We think about that great doctrine, security of the believer. I believe that's involved in our passage tonight. John chapter 10, we're going to begin reading with verse 22 down through verse 30. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Came the Jews round about and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." I thought it had been pretty plain up to this point, but they wanted more. So Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." That verse plainly teaches the deity of Jesus Christ. I and the Father are one. So let's think about this great doctrine of security. If you want to take notes, first of all, I want you to see that our security rests in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is, first of all, a personal relationship. He calls us his sheep, his sheep. We belong to him. We are known of him, and we know him. Now, some claim to be saved who are not known by Jesus. Let me give you a verse to back that up. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day," talking about the judgment day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Now look at this. Jesus said, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you as part of my flock." That's what he's saying. "I never knew you as part of my flock. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And we've already noticed that Jesus knows every sheep in his flock. He knows everyone by name. But he says to these, "I never knew you. You never belonged to me." They may have looked like a Christian. They may have acted somewhat like Christians. But evidently, they were never, ever truly born again. Maybe they were trusting in their good works to get them to heaven. But they never repented. They never trusted solely upon Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jesus said the good works they talked about, he called them iniquity. Their good works was iniquity. What he's saying is, any human righteousness apart from Jesus Christ, that's like a filthy rag to God. Amen? There's nothing we can do on our own that is acceptable to God if we're not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So security is involved here. We need to ask ourselves, is the Lord Jesus Christ real to me? Is he real to me? Do I know him personally? Am I in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus? Folks, let me remind you, security is in a person, not in a place. So what do you mean by that? Some people think if they can just make it to heaven, they'll be secure. Let me remind you, angels fell from heaven. They weren't secure in heaven. They fell from heaven. Security is not being in heaven. Security is being in Jesus. Amen. And a lot of people don't seem to understand that. So it's a personal relationship, and it is a permanent relationship. I give unto them, what kind of life? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. Folks, understand this. When a person is saved, that person is safe. He's safe from any danger. He shall never perish. Now, some may say that they knew of a saved person that lost his salvation, that he renounced his faith and became an unbeliever. And I know he was saved. Do you really? How do you know? Because he made a profession of faith? That doesn't prove anything, does it? Some make a profession of faith and are not truly saved. That happens a lot. We've seen over the last few years, I've seen church members get saved. They'd once made a profession of faith, gotten baptized, joined the church, and then later on said, you know what, I'm not saved. And they accept Christ as their Savior. Amen. We're glad they do. But making a profession of faith and later renouncing that, saying that I no longer believe that, that person was never saved in the first place. Think about Judas. Judas Iscariot, who was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some think Judas lost his salvation. No, Judas was never saved. Jesus himself said that he was of the devil from the beginning. He made a profession of faith. He was baptized by John the Baptist. That was one of the requirements of the apostles. They all had to be baptized by John the Baptist, right? According to Acts chapter 1. So he was profession of faith, baptized scripturally by the one God had sent to baptize. But Judas had never truly been a believer. He did not lose his salvation. Think about this. We're talking about a life that Jesus gives to us. I give unto them eternal life, right? What kind of a life does he give us? Eternal life. When does that begin? The Bible says it begins at the point of you exercising faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. When you do that, your eternal life begins. When does it end? It never ends. Why? Because it's eternal. If I've been given eternal life, how in the world can I lose that? I've been saved for 60 years. Back as a 9-year-old, I gave my life and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. And for 60 years, I have been saved. Now, if I lost it today, if I messed up and did something to lose my salvation, did I have eternal life? No, I had a 60-year relationship with Jesus, and it ended. But I couldn't say I had eternal life. Some insist that we don't receive eternal life until we die and stand before the Lord Jesus, and he decides whether or not to give us eternal life. If we have endured to the end, as the Bible says, then maybe he will give us eternal life at that point, and we'll have it from there on. And to hear you say that you have eternal life and that you know you're going to heaven, they say that's so presumptuous of you to make such a statement. What does the Bible say? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me may have eternal life. I didn't read that right, did I? Doesn't say maybe. It says he has eternal life. Not will have it, not may have it, but he has here and now everlasting life, shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Not shall, someday, maybe. See, everything here is present tense, isn't it? We have it now. We pass from death unto life. So we have a salvation that is present. It's not in the sweet by and by, maybe. It's the here and now. Let me give you something here. My eternal life and your eternal life rests upon several things. You might want to jot these down. First of all, it rests upon the steadfast word of God. He said back in 27, my sheep hear my voice. You drop down to verse 35, he says, the scripture cannot be broken. Okay? We have God's word on this. Now think about this. If I lose my soul, if I lose my salvation, God will lose his honor. Because he promised me everlasting life. If he doesn't come through, it's his honor that's besmirched. Right? He has guaranteed this in the Bible. The scripture cannot be broken. Not only does it rest upon his steadfast word, but on his saving work. Verse 11, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, as Brother Matt brought out this morning. Now, folks, I'm not trusting in my good works to save. I'm trusting in his good work done at Calvary to save me. It's his work that we're trusting in. People may want to debate about losing your salvation and what it takes to lose your salvation. Actually, it depends on how you got it. If you got it by good works, you got to keep it by works. But if you got it by grace, you're going to be kept by grace. That's good, isn't it? I thought it was. Folks, I'm saved by grace, and I'm kept by grace. I'm not trusting in myself. I'd be scared to death if I had to trust in myself to get me to heaven. It's by his steadfast word, by his saving work, and thirdly, by his sovereign will. Verse 29 says, we are safe in God's hands. No one's greater than God. Amen? No one is able to take us out of the hand of God. What has been done in eternity cannot be undone in time. We are chosen in him, and in God's eyes, we're already glorified in Christ. Did you know that? As far as God's concerned, we're already seated in heavenly places. With God, it's good as done. God's not subject to past, present, and future. It's all the same to him. And as far as God's concerned, we're already seated in the heavenly places with our Lord. Then thirdly, it's a protected relationship. Some will say that no man can take us out of the hand of God. You see that in verse 29? And no man is able to pluck them out. They say, well, maybe man can't, but the devil can. The devil can rob you of your salvation. By the way, you notice the word man there is in italics. That's not for emphasis, you know. That means it was added. It's not in the original Greek. It was added by the translator. You see a lot of these words in italics that were added, not to confuse us, but to help us to better understand the sentence here. So, the word man is really not in. It could be one. No one is able to take them out of God's hand. No, not even the devil can do it. Matter of fact, the Bible says, if you look back in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, where it states that no angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Who's that? That's the devil and his demons and his kingdom. Those angels, those principalities, those powers shall be able to separate us from the love of God. So the devil cannot take away your salvation. That's absurd to even think that, isn't it? Salvation is a gift of God. The idea that the devil can take away what God has given me is absurd. It is. If Satan can take your salvation and he does it, then you're saved by the grace of the devil. Amen. He could have taken your salvation, but good old devil decided not to. So you're going to heaven because the devil didn't want you. That's kind of a strange doctrine, isn't it? Others say, no, you lose your salvation yourself. You got yourself in, you can get yourself out. You can stop believing. You can renounce your faith in the Lord Jesus. Folks, listen to this. If Jesus did not save me from me, he did not save me from my worst enemy. Think about that. And they shall never perish. No, that's in the middle voice. It comes back upon oneself. The idea here is they shall never destroy themselves. I cannot take myself out of the hand of God. Think about that. No true believer indwelt by the Holy Spirit would ever want to do such a thing. Well, preacher, does that mean we can just live any way we want to? God forbid. Shall we sin that grace may abound? No, because the second point of what you see is our security results in a responsibility to Christ. We have certain responsibilities in the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are responsible, first of all, to hear his voice in salvation. In verses 3 and 4, the sheep hear his voice and follow him. Verse 9, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That's how a person is saved. He hears the word and he believes it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Now we all understand this. God spoke to our hearts. God convicted us of sin. God drew us by faith to Jesus Christ. We heard his voice and we believed and we followed him. We talked about how Jesus comes and proposes to us as the heavenly bridegroom. He invites us to enter into this relationship with him. Many hear his voice, and yet they refuse his proposal. They do not enter in, just like those Pharisees and Sadducees refused to enter in. They rejected him. They didn't want to make a commitment to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If. In other words, he may enter, he may not. That's up to the individual. But God is calling everyone. Whosoever will may come and be saved. But man has a free will, and man can choose whether or not to enter in. 2 Peter 3:9, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But only those who hear and obey the shepherd's voice and follow him will be saved. So we hear his voice in salvation. Secondly, to hear his voice in sanctification. The true sheep will not follow a stranger. They follow the true shepherd. They go in and out and find pasture. Now, folks, I have no right to call myself a child of God if I'm following a stranger. I don't belong to that stranger. I belong to the one who died for me. Jesus redeemed me to himself, and I don't belong to anyone else. I don't even belong to myself. I belong to my shepherd. So this relationship implies a responsibility to hear the good shepherd and follow him, to be separated from the world and consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 23:1. I remember as a child hearing that verse. I didn't understand it. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want him. I shall not want him. That's what it sounded like to me. But what I'm saying is the Lord is my shepherd, and because he's my shepherd, I shall not have any wants. He will provide everything I stand in need of. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want any other shepherd. That's one way of looking at it. He'll provide what we stand in need of. But notice what David said. He said the Lord, he didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He didn't even say the Lord is the shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. That makes all the difference, doesn't it? Can you say the Lord is my shepherd? Because he's my shepherd, I shall have no wants. I belong to his flock. And then thirdly, to hear his voice in soul winning. Back in verse 16, Brother Matt mentioned this morning about the other sheep. There's a Jewish fold here. The other sheep would be the Gentiles. And they are going to be brought in. The book of Acts tells us about that. Others will be brought in. They will hear the voice of the shepherd. And they will believe. And they will be added to the flock of the Lord. Now, again, we think about the Great Commission. The Bible says, Matthew 28:19-20, to go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. There are three things you see there. To find them, to fold them, to feed them. That's our job. Go into all the world and share the gospel. We've got to go find them. They're out there. Those other sheep that Christ wants to bring in, he's depending upon us to go out and find them. Now, he knows who will be saved, but we don't. So we just got to talk to everybody. Then fold them. I don't mean fold them like a towel. We're talking about sheep, remember? To bring them into the fold. After we lead them to Christ, we instruct them to get baptized and become a member of the Lord's church. We fold them. They are now in the fold. Then we feed them, teaching them all things that Christ has commanded. But folks, we can't feed them until we find them and fold them. So that's the important thing, go out and find them and then teach them these things. So what right does anyone have to call himself eternally secure if he's not hearing and heeding the voice of the shepherd? Now, I'm not saying that you're saved because you do certain things. You're saved because you want to do certain things. You've been transformed by the power of God. You've been changed. You've been made a new creature, as the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's transformation. And only God can do that. How can we say we are saved and secure if we're not concerned that others come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior? We had a series kind of dealing with this, that there's a Savior worth being served, a message worth being shared, a soul worth being saved. Years ago, I heard a story of a shipwreck. Brother Sam, y'all can come ahead. I'm going to close with this story. This happened years ago off the coast of New England. The sea was very rough and stormy. The alarm went off in this coastal village. They could see that ship sinking off their coastline. And many on board were able to abandon ship in these lifeboats. They were able to make their way to shore. The villagers came to the shore and were ministering unto them. But one survivor said, there's still one young man out there. There was not room on the lifeboats, so he told everybody to go and he would wait. Somebody needs to go back out there and rescue that young man. Another young man heard this. His name was John Holden. Might be related to Kim, I don't know. It's John Holden. He said, I'll go. I'll take a lifeboat and I'll go out and get him. His mother was there and she pleaded with him not to go. She said, Mother, I must go. That man will drown if somebody doesn't go back and get him. But she said, son, remember we lost your father to the sea 4 years ago. Your brother Will left on a ship and we haven't seen him since. Son, you're all I've got left. I can't lose you too. Please, please don't go. But John Holden said, Mother, there's a man out there who's going to perish if somebody doesn't reach him. I'm going to go get him. And he took a lifeboat, and another man joined him. They went out and brought that young man back. And lo and behold, the man they brought back was John's brother, Will. If he had not gone out there, his brother would have perished. And I thought about that. Many of us have loved ones that are going to perish if we don't get out there and rescue the perishing. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Folks, we have a responsibility as part of the Lord's flock to reach out to others and share with them the good news. There may be one here tonight that needs to be saved. Would you like to have assurance leaving here tonight that you're safe in the hand of God, that you have eternal life and nothing can take it away from you? Tonight you can come in repentance of your sin and give your life to Jesus Christ, your Lord. You can be saved tonight.